All is good with you all, folks. You're listening to the Better Architecture Podcast with Shubhayan M. And a warm welcome to episode 4 of the very first season of the talks titled Diversify Please. By now, we have covered substantial grounds in this journey of me trying to convince young architects and students to diversify out of architecture. Episode 1 discussed about why one should think of taking this exit, saying a fuck it doesn't harm. Episode 2 talked about the how of it, and episode 3 discussed the external factors, the ways in which the architecture industry will try to keep you under grabs and keep you exploited. These were discussed so that the listener can understand what are the warning signs and what red flags one should avoid in order for them to independently take a decision. Well, having covered the external biases, we will now move on to the internal ones, the ones that come from within and interfere with your rational judgment. At the start, make no mistake, the internal biases are simply the result of external biases at play. Well, mostly. Let's break it into two parts. Pre-graduation and post-graduation. During your college years, you as a student exist within the super safe protected zone called the academic bubble. Now, in this bubble, one gets the comfort of doing his will. We are given design assignments right from the first year, and with these assignments come freedom. Statements like do your will, explore and go crazy, and similar stuff, you know. I mean, sure, that's a great way to learn and possibly is a valid method to inculcate the spirit of inquisitiveness into oneself, but that creates a utopian idea about the work we do. Firstly, when you're doing your case study, you look at all the famous building by the architects. You get awestruck and dream about being able to build like that once you're out of college. Influence 101. Your college teaches you about the famous architects and their famous works, the Falling Waters and the Guggenheims of the world. In this process, your subconscious secretly attaches itself to a few of these architects who become inspirations for you. Hero Worship 101. Next, when you are designing, your inspirations lead you to do crazy surreal stuff in a bid to stand out of class. The race to be the visual best is very much real, and that's a textbook case of Utopia 101. During the jury, the drive to be at one's best and outperform your peers to get established as the best design is a simple introduction to self-inducted superiority complex. Now, remember that these juries are theoretical and so are the designs you do. What this overtly intellectualized process of making paper architecture does is embed in you a sense of false competence and ego. Now, combine this with the standard lessons that architects are problem solvers and brainstorming machines. And obviously, the extra year we spend in college makes us feel superior to our engineering counterparts already, no doubt. So, all of this adds up, plays its game, and takes our mind by storm. Resultant, by the end of the 5 years, you come out as someone who fully believes that architects are being superior and are people who have answers to all the problems in the world. This exaggerated self-portrait reeks of egoism and unnecessary attitude. This is what harms. Now, you might say that perhaps I'm mistaking confidence for egoism. No, I'm not. What we fail to realize is that our best works are paper architecture and our best solutions are paper solutions. And both of them have no credibility. We think they are brilliant, but we have no proof of them being actually so. Enter professional realm and this culture becomes even more intensified. Here the safe bubble is gone and suddenly you're in a competitive space getting pushed by your colleagues, yelled at by your studio lead, and getting strong eyes from your boss. Even in this, daydreaming never stops because somehow you model your future on the lines of the bosses. You see your boss as the all-powerful alpha in his office having an exclusive command. You see them going to places, delivering lectures and receiving awards regularly, and you see the fraternity going gaga over your boss and start to slowly feel the warmth of the stardom on your skin. You see the 100-odd internship application daily and think, when will you have that office that receives such overwhelming attention? We see our bosses being the celebrity they are and get biased in our heads. We want the same stardom, the same fame, not realizing that it's an endless pit. This inherent celebrity-obsessed culture that we have is toxic at best, and let me tell you something that nobody will tell you. A small section of media professionals, way back in the early 20th century, or even a bit before that, realize that we architects are self-contained units of high-headedness. They realized that a small bit of good media coverage makes us go over our heads, and they understood that all it takes for us to burst out and go on and on about the brilliant work we do is a nice little award and a red carpet to walk on. And ever since they have realized this, there has been no going back. In India, that's all you see nowadays. The plethora of awards, the innumerable number of magazines that are lining up to cover projects and architects and publish perfect edits of photographs is a standing proof to how we, the architecture fraternity, is being constantly milked to serve the needs of the media industry. They don't care who receives the award. They only care about the sponsors of the event and the money they take back home. They don't care which project or which architect takes the cover of the magazine. They only care about the advertisement money they take back home. Well, there are definitely credible media outlets that are trying their best to uphold the sanctity of design media by doing critical work, and I have been extremely lucky to work with a few of them, but they are like small boats in a huge sea of trash, you see. The saddest part is that we architects know that this is the scenario. And yet we dive into this because it feeds our ego and makes us feel good. Because it gives us a toned down version of this architecture effect. And all of this culminates into a one-man show culture, wherein an architect starts thinking that he is the know-it-all and the has-it-all. And that is a real phenomenon that's happening right now in the world. I mean, look at B.R. Kingles proposing solutions to save our world. The proposal is called Master Planet. It's a classic example of paper solution that I just talked about. With all our big words like reinvention, revisualization, redesigning and stuff, we think we are the saviors of humanity and its daily lifestyles. Clearly, we are not. I'm reading out a small excerpt from an article by Alison Lank, published in the Hedgehog Review. Since its inception, the term starkitecture has been tainted with connotations of dilettantism and ego. The term originated in the 1940s as an informal, derogatory word to designate movie stars who are also designing houses. But architects with egos have been media darlings long before F.L. Wright famously asserted that the architect is a prophet. While starkitecture tends to emphasize solitary genius, it does so at the expense of an art form driven by a collective networked effort of real estate developers, construction crew, city officials, engineers, and design team members. Where starkitecture prevails, there is an ever-widening gap between success and failure, as commissions are confined to a select few rather than distributed amongst perhaps the more deserving. But as an architect, what you probably will come to think of yourself isn't what your social circle will think of you. Let me give you a quick reality check. You're not what you think you are inside that head of yours. As an architect, you're just a professional who is commissioned to design buildings and are paid for it. With time, your commissions might get bigger and you might grow a bigger office space, but that's about it. There's nothing so great with what you do, and you're no more important than the person having a banking job or the other guy who ferries your employees in his auto from home to office and vice versa. Get that in your head. Ditch this superiority, because the society sure doesn't see any shit like that in you. The only guys who do see and acknowledge it are the ones milking money off your imaginary stardom, smiley face. I'll give you a life example of this. On an April 15th, 2021 Facebook post by an eminent architect from North India, I found a very strange comment. It read, "I have read somewhere that the word architect is always used in a positive way. When something is doctored or engineered or traded, it is usually in a negative context." Wow. This is a typical example of the behavior I'm trying to explain. We architects are positive and all others are negative. Doctored, engineered, and traded are negative words. Really? Stop this self-gratifying stuff. Please. Now, I'm not saying that it's wrong to daydream about greatness, but to get it embedded in your head and exist in that sphere is exactly the internal bias that I'm talking about here. Believe me, you're not in the age where you can expect to build anything and ride on the waves of success because of the Bilbao effect. And all of this for what? We architects are highly motivated ones, dreaming wide awake about changing the world and the society, colonizing Mars and whatnot. that eternal dream of having your studio, building great buildings, making great fame, and lastly, making some money, huh? All of that for what? That fleeting desire of receiving that coveted Pritzker Prize in your late 80s or something, right? That's the epitome. The dream in all caps. Nothing can be bigger than the Pritzker Prize, innit? Brother, let me tell you something right up front. Or let me give you some facts before that. Some 40 or so architects have received the Pritzker Prize till date. The average age of a Pritzker laureate is 63, and the award isn't just for one building, it's for a lifetime of excellence. In short, you gotta keep your A-level performance throughout, keep doing it till your old age, and even in that, the probability is so damn low that, you know, in short, bluntly putting it, you're not going to win it. Ever. So, come out of this dream and give yourself some better career options to choose from, man. I mean, that's the least of the best you can do for yourself and your family. And all of this, the fame, the over-the-top desire of intellectual dominance and stardom, the need for validation, of desiring to be a part of the champagne-drinking, red-carpet-trading high class, of being a hero who will be worshipped by the young a decade down the line, that's the Pritzker trap, y'all. The entire phenomenon that starts right from the first year of architecture school and lasts a lifetime, that's what I call the Pritzker trap. A strange bias that creates a sense of false superiority and fulfillment. Save yourself from that, please. So, yes, combining the external and the internal biases together, that's surely a lot of hurdles for the young generation to overcome. And it's important for you all to overcome these because you'll only be able to see the complete clear picture once you're outside these biases. These factors could cloud your judgment in more ways than I can tell you. I mean, you know, psychology is an open maze. For one, these take you off the ground, and being grounded is extremely important here. Well, my job is to let you all know about the factors out there and how to take them for your benefit. I surely do not have any control over how you will actually take them. And so with that, I believe I will leave the rest for your better senses to judge. All of you are educated adults, and whatever decision you take should be yours and solely yours. That's the important thing. Just think of yourself and your betterment and what will make you happy in your life. The rest can honestly go fuck itself. Nobody gives a damn, neither should you. I guess I've spoken a lot for this one. Just to let you all know, the next episode is the season finale, and that will discuss an overall perspective about professional diversifications for architects. The curtain call, if you all can say that. So that's all for this one, folks. Stay safe, stay indoors, take good care of the elders in your home, follow the protocols, and keep the suffering in your prayers. Till the next time, cheers.